The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's now time for a little bit more in-depth talk about the first of the four efforts. So just to remind us what they are again, the first two are about the unwholesome states of mind, the akusala in Pali. So it's about preventing those from arising and abandoning those that have already arisen. So it's the P and the A of the PACE acronym that Don mentioned, preventing and arise and abandoning. These deal with the three unwholesome roots of existence: greed, hatred, and delusion. From these, all unwholesome states arise that we can experience. Everything from the mildest irritation to intense hate is all part of these unwholesome states, as well as the wanting and the greed and grasping, etc. So often we don't seem to really have that much control over the passing away of these states, or abandoning them, or the arising of them. They just come up and they just seem to stick around. And we get triggered by maybe a partner or a colleague who says something that is hurting us, and all of a sudden this flash of anger comes up. And the Buddha actually acknowledges in the second effort, the second endeavor, like, yes, unwholesomeness does arise, and sometimes we do experience unwholesomeness. So it's not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just one of the states that we can experience in our lives. And the first effort is about the state of the mind before that happens, and how can we prevent it from happening. So the teaching is about two situations. This first two, it's about four situations, but now I'm talking about the first two situations. But nothing has happened yet, nothing is wrong, and we're trying to prevent something from happening. And then if it happens that unwholesomeness arises, how do we deal with it? So we'll start with that unwholesomeness is not present, and how can we prevent it from arising? It would be really nice, of course, to prevent it, because then we suffer less. So there are a few ways that we can prevent it. One is that we avoid that what triggers us. One is that we don't engage in what triggers us. Another one is that we protect ourselves with wholesomeness. So if we want to avoid what triggers us or not engage in what triggers us, then we need to know what it is that we get triggered by. And an example is something that Joseph Goldstein once shared in a Dharma talk. He was in the dining hall at the retreat, standing in line for food. Usually you have to stand in line to get food from the table, scoop it up on your plate. And there were others, of course, also in line. And he had all these judgments coming up about other people, like, oh, this person's sweater is ugly, or this person is scooping up food too slowly, like there's 100 other people that need food, and that kind of judgments. And he was noticing, like, oh, I got a lot of judgments, and he got really, like, tired of himself. So at some point, he realized that when he was looking at these people, these judgments would arise. And so he made the connection, oh, when I look, I have judgments. So his strategy was, okay, I'm going to stop looking around and not look at all these people. And that way he avoided a lot of aversion and judgments coming up. And then we might all know our favorite aisle in supermarket. Mine has chocolate in it. And if I don't want to overbuy on chocolate, then, you know, I don't need anything else in that aisle. I just don't go down that aisle. So that would be a way to avoid unwholesomeness of the greed for the chocolate to come up. And these examples have one thing in common, and that is something that we call guarding the sense doors. In Buddhism, there are six sense doors, six senses. We got the five normal senses, and we got the mind as the sixth sense. And in some situations, we can choose not to use one of those sense doors. Like Joseph Goldstein was guarding his eye door by not looking at the other people in the retreat. In the supermarket, I'm guarding my body sense door, the touch, the body, like I'm directing my body away from that aisle in the supermarket. So if we don't use that sense door in a certain situation, we can prevent the unwholesomeness from arising. And you can take a look at your own life, like what activities in your life lead to unwholesomeness. It could be binge watching Netflix or endlessly scrolling through your Facebook feed. Or maybe you check your messages when you're actually meditating. You're actually checking your messages on your phone. It could be anything, of course, and it can be very subtle as well. So how can we explore like guarding the sense doors in those situations? For example, when you binge watch Netflix, maybe you can make sure that you don't have access to Netflix. Maybe if it's on your TV, you can put your remote in your car during the day somewhere, and then in the evening you can't really access your remote that easily, so it's an extra hurdle to turn on Netflix. Or when you check your messages while you're meditating, you can guard your body door by not reaching out to the phone or not using your phone as a timer and just leave your phone in another room. So you can avoid certain unhealthy behaviors, unhealthy wanting of something or an unhealthy aversion towards something. And I do want to say that it is not always a good idea to avoid situations or activities, because let's say it's like a person that triggers you and you think, oh, I'm just going to avoid that person. Maybe it's not that skillful. Maybe if that person is like a family member or a colleague, it might not be very wholesome to do that. So sometimes it's better to check, like, why am I avoiding? Is it because of I don't want to deal with this? Or is it because out of wisdom and care? Am I hurting others with avoiding, or is it just okay for others if I start avoiding this person or this activity or whatever it is? And when we check, we can also start to learn and gain wisdom from our triggers. So maybe sometimes it might be good to just see, like, oh, why am I actually binge watching Netflix? Instead of just avoiding it, we can also start to understand that it maybe has to do with not wanting to feel lonely or sad or stressed out. And if we start to discover that, we can work with underlying mechanisms and gain more wisdom and understanding. So sometimes it isn't skillful to avoid or not engage. But it is an option that we have. It's one of the tools in our toolkit. So we can kind of see, like, when is it skillful to avoid and not engage, and when is it not? That is something that we have to kind of learn from our own experience. And we can learn by trial and error. And it's okay to make mistakes, like make a choice either to avoid or to start learning from the situation. And then pay attention to the feedback. And most of all, be kind to yourself. We're all learning. and we're all growing, and it's a journey, like I said at the beginning of the day. And so that was about the avoiding or not engaging in activities to prevent unwholesomeness. And we can also protect ourselves with wholesomeness from, and then unwholesomeness won't arise, because we can only have one mind state at a time. And it's going to be a wholesome mind state or an unwholesome mind state. So if we're happy, we're not sad. Sometimes it can look like there are two things at the same time. Maybe you feel happy and sad at the same time, it seems, but technically it's not possible. It's kind of like very quickly changing then from happy to sad, happy to sad. So cultivating wholesomeness can help us prevent unwholesomeness. See, because of this mechanism that we can only have one of those at the same time. So the more wholesomeness we cultivate, the more conditions we generate for more wholesomeness again. And that's a way to prevent the unwholesomeness. So Dawn will talk more about that in a talk later today, so I won't go too deep into that. I want to move on to the second effort. So this was the P, the preventing in pace. Preventing the arising of the unwholesomeness. And the second great effort was about the A in pace, abandoning of unwholesome states that have arisen. And sometimes it can be really difficult to give up an unwholesome state of mind. Have you ever tried to say to your anger, go away, or to your sadness, go away? For me, it doesn't usually magically go away when I say that. So it's handy to have a few tools. And some of them are mindfulness, wisdom, intention, and wholesomeness again. And first, I want to touch on mindfulness. Jonathan already talked a little bit about that. And mindfulness is a very special aspect of the mind, because through mindfulness, we know what happens while it happens. There's not really another aspect in the mind that can do that. So mindfulness brings awareness to things that otherwise might have stayed unconscious. And so through mindfulness, we are aware that an unwholesome state has arisen. That is kind of the simple first step that we need to know that unwholesomeness has arisen. And sometimes awareness alone is enough for the dissipation of the unwholesome state. It is like one of my teachers, Sayadaw Uteshaniya, says, there are two means by which unskillful mental qualities are uprooted. One is that you simply become aware of them and they naturally disappear. In this case, awareness does the work. The other way is that understanding arises about whatever unskillful root quality is present. In this case, wisdom does the work. End quote. So first, a bit more about the disappearing of the unwholesomeness through the mindfulness. And then I'll get to Sayadaw's wisdom part. Maybe you have experienced this before in your meditation. Like an unwholesome state has arisen, some irritation, a judgment, some aversion. And then awareness becomes aware of it, becoming mindful. And then it dissipates right away. Like, why is that, you think? Well, Sayadaw Uteshaniya gives an answer to that. Be sure to recognize that when you recognize something unwholesome, that very recognition that there is something unwholesome is in itself wholesome. So the mindfulness is wholesome. And what I said, wholesomeness and unwholesomeness can't exist together. So unwholesomeness might disappear when we become mindful, because In that case, sometimes there is no room for the unwholesomeness anymore. But you might also have noticed that that doesn't always happen. Sometimes maybe the wholesomeness wasn't strong enough, or the unwholesomeness was too strong. There's too much momentum maybe in the unwholesomeness. And then we need other tools. And besides the mindfulness, we can use wisdom to abandon unwholesomeness. And we do need the mindfulness for wisdom to arise. Mindfulness is the first step. Because when we see clearly that unwholesomeness arises, we start to see why, what conditions led up to this unwholesomeness. Like we can see maybe we're getting hungry and grumpiness arises. There's now even a word for it, hangry. Or maybe you're thinking about your work on Monday. I don't want to remind you of it, but then you all of a sudden feel dejected or sad or aversive. So you see, oh, thought about work and aversion arises. So we see it might be our thought patterns that give rise to the unwholesomeness or a certain situation like hunger. And that way we start to learn. We start to get familiar with our own minds and hearts and bodies. And more understanding can lead to sometimes more ability to just be with what arises, to just be with the unwholesomeness. And that can help ease the unwholesomeness, which helps with dissipating it sooner. And we'll also start to see when we're mindful with wisdom that unwholesomeness is actually painful. It is painful and unpleasant being angry, being upset, being sad, being anxious. It's actually painful in the heart. And when we see that clearly, we also see that it doesn't contribute to our well-being and happiness. And the clearer that we see that, the more our wisdom grows. It's kind of like gaining insight into causes and conditions to, like, what leads to suffering and what leads away from suffering towards more happiness. And we start to see clearly that unwholesomeness is suffering. And in that way, wisdom can grow in the background. We're not always aware of it. Sometimes we just see all this suffering and we're thinking like nothing is happening. But in the background, we can trust that wisdom is working. And sometimes all of a sudden an insight can appear. And we do need to be patient. Sometimes it takes a longer time for us. Like wisdom needs to collect many data points. Like trying to make a house out of Lego. We put the first building blocks down. We're not really having a house yet. So we need a lot of building blocks to make the house. And so what can help with that is intention. We can have the intention to learn from our experiences, to learn from the unwholesomeness, the intention to generate that okayness, like, may I be okay with what is, because then the struggle disappears. Intention is very powerful. It shapes our lives. So it's really wise to use that intentionally and deliberately, because then it can help us in the right direction. So you can form an intention to learn from it, to gain wisdom, to be okay with it. And maybe it takes a few intentions, but every little intention that you make will be a seed that might flower in the near or the far future. And the last tool that I will briefly discuss for giving up unwholesomeness is cultivating wholesomeness. So like I said, we can't have wholesome and unwholesome mind state at the same time. So when we cultivate wholesomeness, we basically drive out the unwholesomeness. And it's something that the Buddha also pointed to in the Vitakkasanthana Sutta. He says, when one gives attention to something connected with what is wholesome, then any evil, unwholesome thoughts connected with desire, with hate, and with delusion are abandoned in him and subside. Just as a skilled carpenter or his apprentice might knock out, remove, and extract a coarse peg by means of a fine one, so too, when one gives attention to something connected with what is wholesome, one's mind becomes steadied, internally quieted, and concentrated. End quote. So the fine peg of wholesomeness drives out the coarse peg of unwholesomeness. So in that way, you can see that these four efforts are actually interconnected. And since Don is going to talk more about the wholesomeness later, I will leave it at that. But what you will discuss will also greatly benefit abandoning any unwholesomeness and preventing unwholesomeness. So the first great effort, preventing the unwholesomeness from arising, some tools I discussed were that we can avoid or not engage in what triggers us, and we can protect ourselves with wholesomeness. And the second great effort, the abandoning of the arisen unwholesome states, some tools that I discussed were the mindfulness, sometimes mindfulness is enough, wisdom, the seeing of the causes and conditions, the seeing of the painfulness, the cultivating of okayness, that it's okay, and intention, and also the wholesomeness again. So we'll have some time now to do a guided meditation on the first two aspects. So you can settle in again. Cultivate, have a posture that's comfortable, but somewhat alert. And you can start with breathing in and out a little deeper. And on the out-breath, you can have the intention to let go of any stress or worry or tension. You can tune into your body. The sitting posture here, or maybe you're laying down, that's also fine. Really feel the body as a whole in the posture that you're in. The support beneath you. And if there's any part of your body that feels a bit uncomfortable or maybe a little pain or tension, just give that part of the body a little bit extra attention. You can invite it to Relax a little further if needed. Or just send that part of the body a little bit metta. Good wishes. May that part of the body be well. And then focus your attention for a while on the breath. Just the in and the out breath. You can be really present for this in breath. Wherever you feel it easiest. And then really present for this out breath. And then the next in breath. Really present, just only that in breath. Really present for the next out breath. Only that out breath. One way of avoiding unwholesomeness, of letting it go, is by being fully present for something else, like the in and the out breath. There's no time for anything else. There's no room for anything else than just this breath. Just pay very close attention to the breath for a few minutes now. All your attention there. if it feels right to you, you can let go of the breath this intensely and open also to other experiences. Experiences at any of the six sense doors. Maybe other body sensations, sounds, tastes or smells, thoughts, moods, feelings. Let everything be welcome now. You can be aware of whatever is most predominant, whatever is most obvious in your experience. So you don't have to go look for an experience. Just receive whatever is there. And your attention will jump from one object to another. Sometimes sounds are predominant, sometimes thoughts, sometimes an itch on your big toe. Whatever it is, you just go there where it's most predominant. And if an unwholesome mind state arises, the first thing you can do is just be aware. Just recognize it. Acknowledge it. Yes, this is here now. There's sadness. Or there's anger. Or frustration. Whatever it is. Sometimes this recognition and acknowledgement makes that this state already disappears. And if it doesn't, you can become aware of the unpleasantness of the state. Is it painful? You can drop in. What can I learn from this? Why did it arise? What causes and conditions led to this? Without needing an answer right away, just as an exploration for your subconscious mind to chew on. Maybe an answer arises right now, or maybe not. Maybe an answer comes 2 weeks from now, or a month. It doesn't really matter. It's about the inquiry, about the curious mind, about the mind that wants to learn and grow and develop wisdom. every time an unwholesome mind state arises, we can start with being mindful, with acknowledging and recognizing. And if needed, we can drop in wisdom phrases. We can be aware of causes and conditions and of painfulness or unpleasantness. But of course, we don't only experience unwholesomeness. So if wholesomeness is present for you, be aware of that. And remember, mindfulness itself is wholesome. If you're distracted by thoughts, you come back to mindfulness again. Notice, is there a little bit of unwholesomeness there, like a little bit of aversion? Darn, I was gone again. Or is there kind of a gladness? Wholesomeness present, mindfulness is back. Just as an observation. An observation of the tendency of the mind. And if there's unwholesomeness, a little bit of that term, feeling, then acknowledge that. And feel the unpleasantness of it. what is here right now. Is there wholesomeness or unwholesomeness? Or just maybe just okay the way it is? Simple being in the present moment, maybe. Just to recognize, just to be aware.